This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
And I'm Kip Allen.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
the Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates Lutheran literature into many languages. Its new executive director, Reverend Matt Heise, is a former missionary to Russia. It turns out that he and I have something in common.
Простите меня, пожалуйста, но вы говорите по-русски язык.
Да, конечно, у тебя очень хороший акцент. Откуда ты знаешь русский язык?
Pastor Heise and I discuss the workings of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation later in the broadcast, in English.
What caused a man to go from the Muslim Brotherhood to becoming a Lutheran pastor? I'm Andy Bates, World Lutheran News Digest, and I speak with Pastor Isham Shihab, who discusses his spiritual journey to Christianity later in the broadcast.
And now today's Fast Track.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of Baden in Germany has reported the sad news that Reverend Christoph Schorling was murdered on June 24th. Reverend Schorling was superintendent over the seven municipalities of Baden and served as a pastor of congregations in Pforzheim and Freiburg. Authorities report Reverend Schorling was stabbed to death in his rectory by a man suffering from mental illness, a man to whom Reverend Schorling had often provided pastoral care. Reverend Christoph Schorling leaves behind a wife, three grown children, and several grandchildren. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of Baden is a partner church of the ZELK, the Independent Lutheran Church in Germany. The National Convention of Lutheran Church Canada has yielded the same results. President Robert Bugby was re-elected by the convention, which took place on the campus of University of British Columbia in Vancouver in early June. The event saw lay and clergy representatives from across the nation of Canada gather together to conduct the business of the church, during which time President Bugby was acclaimed to another term without opposition. Reverend Nolan Astley was re-elected to serve as vice president for the East District of the LCC, and Reverend Thomas Kersel was re-elected to serve as vice president for the ABC District. The Central District has a new vice president, newly elected Reverend Mark L. Smith. Reverend Astley will serve as first vice president, Reverend Krusel as second vice president, and Reverend Smith as third vice president of Lutheran Church Canada.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Pastor Matt Heise is on his second career. He spent much of his adult life as a school teacher.
I was a high school teacher in Detroit Catholic schools, of all things. I taught history, U.S. government, you name it, track coach, basketball coach, all those things combined into one, it seems.
But teaching in Detroit seemed to lack something for him, so he took a leave of absence to teach in Russia.
I took a two-year break to go overseas to Russia in the mid-90s, and that was through the LCMS World Mission Volunteer Program, teaching English.
After teaching abroad, returning to teaching in American public schools just didn't have the same attraction for him anymore. He felt a different calling.
I got the bug over there and could never quite get it out, and so when I returned back in the late 90s, I tried teaching at a public high school, didn't quite work, and ended up going to the seminary, and was immediately put on mission track.
It was only natural for him to be sent back to Russia after his ordination.
So when I went back, actually, I went on a two-year vicarage, working on the language in 2001, and from 2001-2003, I did my vicarage in Moscow.
Following his vicarage, his call came, and he stayed in Russia for more than an additional 10 years, preaching the gospel to Russians in their own language.
And that gravitated into a call in 2003, and I've served pretty much the last, I guess it's come to, counting those 2 years for vicarage, almost 13 years overseas.
In April of this year, Pastor Heise became the executive director of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, a natural match given his experience in Russia. Actually, the LHF was founded specifically to spread the gospel in Russia following the collapse of communism.
Lutheran Heritage Foundation was actually founded about 20 years ago, and ironically, it was its work began in Russia. That was just as the Soviet Union fell. Our founder, Dr. Robert Rahn, had the opportunity to begin to go into many of those places, Moscow, St. Petersburg, where there were still some Lutherans alive and around, and begin to connect with them on translations of Luther's catechism and other kind of spiritual literature of a Lutheran bent.
From there, it was only logical that Luther's message of spreading the gospel in the heart language of communities became the mission of the LHF.
Basically, what we do is we translate, publish, distribute, and introduce what we call Lutheran literature. And so the basic idea here is it's Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Those are usually the phrases that we use to describe what we're doing.
And that mission has expanded enormously.
Actually, we work now in about 85 languages and in over 90 countries.
Mission work continues in parts of the world where there are many language groupings, such as in Africa.
Well, in certainly Komba language is one in Ghana, and Kusal, these are languages I hadn't heard of before. In Benin and West Africa, it's Fon. But when you go into other countries that maybe that have not really had Luther's small catechism, for example, Mongolia now, we're beginning to experiment with work there. And among Iranian refugees outside of Iran, in eastern Germany, so Farsi naturally would be their dominant language.
The number of languages and countries served continues expanding.
What LHF, of course, has been doing, and what we end up doing so often in Africa, is you're always discovering a new tribal language. So on the whole, when I look at the map, I see that we've covered most of the countries of the world.
There are many works to be translated, but Pastor Heise says two particular works are always translated.
Probably the two books that are the initial translations in almost every language is Luther's Small Catechism, maybe just the Enchiridion at start, and then eventually kind of working into the explanation, and Children's Garden Book of Bible Stories, the old Arthur Gross CPH book from the late 40s.
There is one geographic exception that is resistant to the spread of the gospel, that being the Islamic areas of North Africa and the Middle East.
Of course, there's this northern stretch of Africa where, of course, the Islamic armies came across in the 7th century and early 8th century, and that is pretty much still untouched by us for obvious reasons.
Christianity is not tolerated in many parts of the Islamic world. Some countries are openly hostile to the message of Christ, and there's religious upheaval throughout much of that region.
Just the basic understanding that Christianity is clearly almost being exterminated from the Middle East. Simultaneously, what I find intriguing is that Muslims are really beginning to grapple with the whole notion of what their faith means.
There is much violence among Muslims themselves, with Sunni and Shiite often at armed conflict. Many Muslims of both sects come to the United States where there is no religious oppression. Mission work goes on in many of these immigrant communities. Some Muslims find themselves asking questions that they could not ask in their home countries.
So there are opportunities to begin to kind of explore who Jesus is, too, because once Muslims begin to look at him and compare him to Muhammad, what I've heard is, obviously, Muhammad certainly comes up short. And they begin to try to seriously begin to wrestle with the claims of who Jesus is, and that opens up the door to the New Testament.
The risen Lord commanded his followers to make disciples of the nations. Those nations are now coming to us and can hear the word. For more information about the work of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, go to www.lhsmissions.org. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂഥറൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
The Reverend Hisham Shahab from Salam Christian Fellowship in Lombard, Illinois. Good morning, Pastor Shahab.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest today.
It's my honor. Thank you.
Well, I would love to hear about both your history and the history behind Salaam Christian Fellowship. Tell us about yourself, Pastor Shahab.
Yeah, I was born in a Muslim family in Beirut, Lebanon. The Shahab family claims descent from the tribe of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. So we were very proud of our lineage, and we were staunch Muslims, very conservative. And I joined the Muslim Brotherhood in the Lebanese branch in Beirut at the age of 12, really. You know, they kind of, it's in Islamic terms, they call it a revival movement, you know. So I was fascinated by the way they interpreted the world and their global view, you know. And so I joined the Muslim Brotherhood, and at the age of 16 only, I was ready to give my first Friday service, really. I was one of the very good people at the Quran, the Book of Islam, and classical Arabic. So I was ready to preach, really, and I did really teach kids in the mosque and stuff, but that was a big day for me. But God had a different plan for my life. I got into a head-on collision, broke both legs, and I was hospitalized for 50 days at the American University Hospital. And there, I mean, I started thinking about the future. And I was interested in medicine, so I shifted gears and decided to learn more English in order to go to the medical school at the American University of Beirut in the future. So I had a plan. I started teaching myself English by reading comic books and reading novels by Louis L'Amour and stuff, you know. And 1980, I was able to get into the pre-medical program at the American University of Beirut. It's the Harvard of the Middle East. I was very proud and very looking forward to, you know, to my medical studies, but God again had a different plan for my life. My only brother, my only sibling, who became a captain in the Muslim militia, then was killed by a Christian militia in the civil war in Lebanon. You know, the civil war in Lebanon raged between 1975 and 1989, officially. Still going on low intensity between Hezbollah and some Sunni factions, but now it's really kind of low intensity. But in those days, it was raging, and my brother was killed by a Christian militia. I was devastated. I wanted to kill my enemies. I got a silencer and a gun and decided to stalk those members of the militia at night, but to kill them off one by one. But there was a college course of cultural studies that included quotations from different world literature, they call it. And the quotation from the New Testament that tugged at my heart was the Sermon on the Mount. So at the climax of my hatred, looking for my enemies to kill them, I heard for the first time, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you, who curse you. I thought, wow, this is ridiculous or superhuman. Who could love his enemies? So it triggered my interest in the Bible, you know, and they just give you quotations from here and there, selections, really. Mm-hmm. So I read the Bible on my own, and and it took 7 years, really, to get out of Islam, if I can say, and started, looking for a church. You know, Arabic churches are not very friendly to converts, so it took me a while to bump into a retired Lutheran pastor from northern Minnesota in 2001. April 2001, I was going into a bank building in Beirut. Beirut, Lebanon, not Lebanon, Indiana, Beirut, Lebanon, okay? When that Lutheran pastor, retired Lutheran pastor, Reverend Dr. Lutz, Bernie Lutz from northern Minnesota, he came to help in reviving the Lutheran Hour ministry after the Civil War in Lebanon. And he was going down in a bank building in an elevator. I was going there to bank to pay a bill, and he was on fire for the Lord, as they say. He was giving his business card around in the elevator. There were five people. I grabbed his business card and looked at it, it was, it said Lutheran Ministry of the Middle East. So, you know, I was an adjunct professor at American University by then, teaching history, and Reformation was part of it. But let me say, he was the first Lutheran specimen I had ever seen, you know. So I called him, and we became friends, and he asked me to translate his Bible studies, and In 3 years, he was going back and forth to the States. He couldn't stay in Beirut, Lebanon. He was retired, so just, you know, he promised his wife when they retired, he'll take her south. So he took her to Lebanon, you know. So, but I'm saying that he would escape the snow in Minnesota, come and spending almost 6 months in Beirut, you know, anyway. So after 3 years, he invited me to come to Fort Wayne, Indiana, he said, "Would you like to go to seminary?" It was a dream come true. I was, hoping and praying for something like this, and it became true. And I prayed about it, and in 2004, Christmas 2004, I landed in Detroit, Michigan, where I started working with the Arabic community there to share the gospel with the Muslims and commute to Fort Wayne, take intensives for my pastoral studies. The recession really hit Detroit earlier than other states because of its dependency on the auto industry. So I had to look for other sources to support the mission. And, it's a faith ministry. Again, I say it's a faith ministry, and I have to raise funds from scratch, you know, everything, you know, even my salary. So I was advised to move to Chicago. I wasn't sure about Chicago, you know. When I heard Chicago for the first time, I heard Al Capone, you know, because I'm not familiar with all the states here in the United States. And so I started commuting by driving my conversion van, sleeping in the back seat, using the back seat as a bed sometimes. There was a wonderful pastor, Reverend Bill Guise of LaGrange, St. John LaGrange, who gave me the room of his daughter, hosted me for 2 weeks almost, and on and off, almost 2 months really. And so in Thanksgiving 2006, I decided to move the family to Chicagoland after I located a parsonage that was ready for rent. So I decided to outsmart the people in Chicago and travel at night to avoid the traffic, you know. So I set out from Ann Arbor, Michigan at 9 p.m., and as soon as I hit to the interstate on 294, I discovered something. Well, during the daytime, you fight crazy drivers and sit in traffic at night. Well, they close all lanes and keep one lane open for road work, you know. And you sit behind trucks spewing, you know, those venomous fumes at you. And I thought, wow, I am called to plant an Arabic church in this difficult land. This is a mission impossible, you know. But what's impossible with man is possible with God. In 2 months, I was really part of a mission initiative to distribute a food basket for Easter to refugees, when I bumped into a woman who was a Palestinian refugee who lived in Lebanon and moved to Wheaton, Illinois. And she was like the Samaritan woman to me. She introduced me to the whole Arabic community, and we started a Bible study immediately. Then we baptized 7 people that year. 2008, March 2008, we decided to start, a worship service formally. And it has been going on since. We baptized 25 people so far from the Middle East. Ages range between maybe 1 month and 77 years old, you know. Iranians, Iraqis, Palestinians, Lebanese, what have you. You know, we have people coming to Salam from 8 countries or more, Arabic countries, and Iran as well. There is a guy who found me in 5 days. There is another guy recently, last week, found me in 3 days, you know, from Iran, you see. So it's like a net. We throw it, we catch the fish, and let the Holy Spirit clean them through the waters of baptism. Yes.
Next week, Pastor Shihab talks about what Christians need to know to understand Muslims. Andy Bates, World Lutheran News Digest.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@KFUO.org.